Today, we're going to do an inner guide slash future self meditation and talk about imposter syndrome, which that phrase doesn't really resonate for me personally because I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I like myself a lot. Like, I don't want to be anyone else. I see it as more of a skills gap. And it's ironic because people are always telling me that they wish they had my confidence. And in my head, when I hear that, I'm like, oh my God, me too. I would love that. I think people get confused because I'm very expressive and optimistic, but anyone who knows me up close knows that I have an array of very specific and unoriginal insecurities. It's just that what ends up happening is that I choose to listen to my heart and put myself out there anyways. Like, I'm not confident about things, I'm just doing them. And it's funny because I notice that my imposter syndrome comes up when it's something that I really care about and have a natural foundational skill set for, like being a meditation and Dharma teacher. I have big dreams for that and a very clear vision of who I want to be, how I want to carry myself, and how I want to speak. But I'm not there yet. And to step into this role, I'm putting myself in situations where I either don't know what I'm doing or I don't like what I'm doing. The other day, I was asked to read Sanskrit on a Zoom call with 30 other people. And for context, if you want to know how dramatic and fragile I am, this is a class where we're all learning. Everyone is going around taking turns fucking it up. The only person who knows what they're doing is the teacher. But still, it felt physically painful for me to even try. I wanted to throw my computer out the window. Like, oops, sorry, I don't know what happened. Call on somebody else. Other things I don't like include unnecessary paperwork, long-term commitments, and constructive criticism, especially constructive criticism. Like, anything that's not, Sydney, you are the embodiment of perfection, your meditations are the soundtrack to my dreams, please have my babies and take all of my money. Anything that's not that, I don't want to hear it. But apparently my path to becoming a meditation teacher involves all of those things right now. And so I do them. And I started thinking, what if instead of labeling everything as a mistake and using it as proof for why I'm not good enough to be a teacher? What if I transform those moments into something that felt meaningful and worthy of celebration because it's proof of my dedication to this path? What if every mispronounced word and cringy feedback session was actually an offering to my future enlightened self and all the people I'm going to help? So the trick isn't confidence. It's figure out the thing that you're willing to look stupid for. Let your motivation for that thing set your heart on fire, and then get out of your own way because it's not about you. It's about all the people that need you to step up and get out of your comfort zone. One of my Dharma teachers at Three Jewels, Javier, says it really well.
You can be teacher and student at the same time. Of course, every teacher has to be a student of somebody. And you're ready to teach the moment you meet somebody who knows less than you and you think that what you're going to speak will put them closer to enlightenment. You don't have to formally be a teacher. But whoever you know, that you can tell them one word that will move them closer to enlightenment, you can become a teacher in that moment. Keep that in mind because you're going to meet a lot of people who are suffering crazy and you might have the one thing that's going to put them in the right path without you even knowing it. Maybe you will never know. And 20 years later, they will come and tell you, you changed my life.
So we're going to go through a meditation where I want you to imagine this enlightened future you who has it all figured out. Basically, what we're doing is creating evidence in our minds that we are so much more powerful and worthy than the narratives that have been running on loop in our heads for decades. Because we're always looking for evidence of things, and it's easy to find evidence of not being good enough. So let's create some evidence of being super powerful. And as you're doing this visualization, don't hold back. This is a time to play, so dream as big as you can. Don't be confined by what you think is possible now or what you see around you, but truly reach into your heart and pull up your highest vision. As you ease into your posture, think of it as this practice of creating the most conducive antenna for listening to your heart. For the next 10 minutes, all of your attention is in service to this great quality of love and compassion that the inner guide holds. All you have to do is listen. Keeping the crown of the head shining up, helping us sit up. Melting the spot between the brows, unclenching your jaw, slightly tucking your chin. Opening your heart, lengthening your spine. Grounding your sit bones down, feeling a sense of safety and stability. Now, tune into the breath. Notice the rhythm of the breath drawing you inward with each exhale, climbing down into the body. Mind rides the breath. You can always come back to the anchor of the breath at any point in this meditation. But if you want to play, if you want to go deeper, drop whatever story your mind has been feeding you all day. Releasing any pressure to show up in any kind of way, because you're about to meet somebody who loves you just the way you are. On your next inhale, start to imagine this glowing light illuminating your heart center. And with each exhale, this light begins to create a form in front of you. This form begins to take the shape of your inner guide, your future enlightened self sitting across from you. Knee to knee, breathing with you. This guide is the embodied version of your perfected self, your unlimited potential. They've overcome all of your current obstacles and have achieved everything you've ever dreamed of, including things you can't even imagine right now. They are the happiest, hottest, most generous, loving version of you. take a moment to get clear on the qualities they embody that inspire you. Feeling excited and uplifted that they are here and they're going to guide you. With each inhale, see their smile grow, just beaming at you, so happy to be here and be present with you. They're saying, "I see you and I love you. What can I do for you?" And this is your opportunity to let it out. Tell them what you need. Share with them how much your dream means to you and your devotion to it. Share with them the work you have done, the efforts you have made, achievements and obstacles on the same level. See them as offerings. And as you share, you can see that they understand. And they just keep responding with this unshakable belief in you. They're like, "Of course I will help you with these things." And for the next 10 breaths, you have access to their heart and mind. What would love and wisdom feel like in a perfected being? And as this light pours into your heart, think about the impermanence of your own mind. Stay here, fully surrendered to your belief that things do not have to be the way they are now. No longer wishing to know, but feeling and knowing now. And imagine that sitting behind you are all the people you will ever meet and you've ever met. And all of the love that you're getting, they're receiving as well. see how your practice benefits them. Now, let go of the visualization, but keep the sensation. And as you're ready, deepen your breath. Feel the weight of your hands in your lap and come back into the room. Thank you so much for practicing with me today, and I hope that you've created some evidence that no matter where you're at in your journey, love and acceptance will always guide you to that next step.